The wonderful sounds here of Vangelis. Not our usual one, but this is called Mission Accompli, Rosetta's Waltz. Welcome to the Space Show, presented by members of the Space Association of Australia. Hello, I'm Andrew Rennie, and flying solo this evening. Now, on this evening's The Space Show, a preview of next week's fifth anniversary of the landing of Philae Lander on Comet Churyumov-Gerasimenko, which is why we're playing this opening music tonight. We're also having a look back 1 year to the launch of the Australian National University's In Space Initiative. Well, it is now a year since the launch of the Australian National University's In Space Initiative. Now, this happened on 2018, October the 23rd, in Parliament House. Master of Ceremonies was Nobel Prize winner Professor Brian Schmidt, who is Vice Chancellor of the Australian National University. And he introduced the speakers as we went.
Welcome, everyone, and thank you all for coming today to this exciting launch of InSpace. Special welcome to Minister Karen Andrews, Minister of Industry, Science and Technology, for being here today to officially launch the ANU Institute for Space in Space. Minister Andrews continues to be a strong supporter of everything science, technology, and research at ANU and indeed across the sector, and we very much appreciate your support. I'd also like to welcome our other speakers today, Professor Anna Moore, director of our new ANU Institute for Space, and the director, she's also the director of our Advanced Instrumentation and Technology Center, one of the crown jewels of the Australian technology scene, which we host up at Mount Stromlo. Mr. James Caruso, the U.S. Charge d'Affaires, great to have you here today, and Mr. Valentin Marino Villeneuve, the head of Airbus Defense and Spatial Australasia. Thank you, wherever you are. There we go. As Australia's national university, ANU has a unique and important role in policymaking, research, and in innovation. And so we're trying to think outside the box of how to support Australia's agenda. We have had established excellence in space technology, research, and development for decades. And we want to leverage that for the space industry, for Australia, to grow and prosper in the years and decades to come. Our new institute will be the front door to space activities and capabilities across the university, including technology research, development, science missions, space test facilities, commercial space law, and business and finance initiatives relating to space. Really, everything you can imagine. And it's not just for ANU, it is for the nation. It will drive co-investment with industry and government partners and focus on cross-disciplinary projects and initiatives to support the Australian space business development. InSpace will bring together the best and brightest from ANU and the globe to solve the hard problems that need to be solved if we're going to get a space industry up and going here in Australia. This new institute builds on our commitment to establish institutes of innovation that deliver world-class research outcomes and impact for government, for civil society, and the private sector. Without further ado, I'd like to invite Minister Andrews to speak. Thank you, Karen.
Thank you very much, Professor Schmidt, for the opportunity to be here this morning and for your very kind introduction. Can I also acknowledge all of the very distinguished guests who are here today and my parliamentary colleagues and, in fact, everyone who has come along today to support the ANU, to support the space industry and, of course, to support InSpace. Clearly, the space industry in Australia is a growing sector, and you can just sense the excitement from not only our young people, but from academia, from industry, in the potential that the space industry has to offer to Australia. So I'm delighted with the work that the ANU has done and will continue to do in this sector. Now, the Coalition Government committed $41 million to establish the Australian Space Agency, and since that time, Professor Megan Clark has certainly hit the ground running to promote all things space here in Australia. But if we are to grow the space sector, which currently sits at about $3.9 billion in Australia and employs about 10,000 people, to what we are projecting will be a $12 billion industry by 2030 and employing some 20,000 people, it's essential that we engage academia and the business sector to jointly work together to make sure that we are innovating, that we are conducting appropriate research and development to build and strengthen that sector. InSpace has a unique opportunity to be part of the growth of the sector here in Australia, and I'm very confident that ANU will continue to take a leading role. I'm very supportive and very appreciative of an industry who is already engaged, and I know that together the ANU and business will certainly be kicking some goals into space. Congratulations on the work that you have done so far. I wish you all the very best for the future, and I am delighted that I'm part of the journey starting here today. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Minister Andrews, and indeed we look forward to taking this journey together and with many of the great guests here. Without further ado, I'd like to invite Professor Anna Moore to speak. We recruited Anna from Caltech. Most of you will know that as a home of JPL, although she worked in the astronomy department there. She has a long history here in Australia. It is great to have her back leading not just space, but all of our instrumentation here at ANU, where we are truly a world leader. Anna?
So, thank you, everyone. It's a great honor to be director of the ANU Institute for Space. I'm very grateful to Brian and the ANU leadership for their support and vision in setting up this institute. So the goals of InSpace are ambitious. We will be tapping into the talent across the whole university, from physics and astronomy, my own area, medicine, engineering, earth sciences, all the way to law, policy, and economics and business. The common theme to any of our programs is that they will be transformative. That is the only requirement. We are working with our industrial partners and our international collaborators on a range of exciting projects, and they will be announced as they come online during 2019 and onwards. ANU's mission is to be the leader in Australia and to change the world, and I'm very confident that InSpace will enable that vision and that mission in the area of Australian space. Thank you.
Thank you, Anna, and your intellectual leadership is exactly what we need to help Australia achieve what its goals are, and we really appreciate you being prepared to step up to what is incredibly challenging and we hopefully a role with huge opportunities along with the challenges. It is, as we have noted, an international endeavor, and so it's great to have two of our international representatives here. And so first, I'm going to have Mr. James Caruso, Chargé d'Affaires of the U.S. Embassy here in Canberra, to come up and address us all. Thank you, James.
Thank you, Brian. Great to see so many people out here for something like this. I'm a child of the 60s, sitting in my cardboard space capsule, watching the launch at 6 in the morning, thinking I was there. This was a time that instilled confidence and hope in my generation. And now we're in a new generation, where companies like SpaceX and Blue Origin and Virgin Galactic are going to inspire the next generation to say, what can I do in this new field where launch is cheaper and more possible, where CubeSats can can do things no one ever dreamed of. And I'm so pleased that Australia, just in the past year, has stood up a space agency, and now this great in-space effort, which is going to take fields across human endeavor to see what can we do in space. And the United States reaches out and wants to work with Australia across all this. We're having our first bilateral space dialogue at the end of the year, which is going to look at this on a government-to-government basis. And I hope university-to-university we can do more together as well. My embassy here is anxious to work with anyone who wants to about how we can do more together. It's an exciting time. I envy all you people younger than 30 that can see this as a future. And I wish you all the best of luck in space. And off we go to the moon. Thank you. Oh, and first I have to introduce my colleague, Mr. Villeneuve from Airbus, please.
Good morning, everybody, distinguished minister and senators. Thank you for bringing me here as an industry space representative. I have to say there is no a single day when I'm not talking about space, spatial startups, launch with my Australian colleagues, Australian partners, Australian customers. Something is going on in this country. Defense Department is investing $1 billion per year during 10 years. There is a very special Australian Space Agency created on the 1st of July. It's the fastest growing space startup economy in the world per capita, with 85 startups being created in 2 years. So I think what I always say to my European colleagues is space is not a buzzword in Australia anymore. Something is happening. We need to be here. So I truly welcome the InSpace Institute, Innovation Institute initiative. It is the right thing to do to bring everything under one roof, to actually give us a place to go, to actually talk with academia, and to hopefully create the future of the space sovereign capability of Australia and the one roof together with you. We've got, I truly believe, we are walking the talk when I say that not only we are an industry based on cooperation, but we are cooperating with Australia. We are the first one signing an agreement with the Space Agency. We are the first one investing in the SmartSat CRC. We are going to launch our high-altitude pseudo-satellite here in West Australia at the end of November. We're really trying to find the good connections with you, so really excited about what you're doing. Congratulations, Anna. It's been a long process during the last couple of years, but that's going to be, I think, the beginning of a truly great story for Australia. Thank you.
From the National University, we heard Professor Brian Schmidt, Karen Andrews, Professor Anna Moore and James Caruso, and Valentin Marino Villeneuve. Well, Professor Brian Schmidt, who is the Vice Chancellor of the Australian National University, and Professor Anna Moore, who is now in charge of the Space Institute in Canberra, they have prepared this promotional message about the Institute for Space.
As Australia's national university, we are already home to key national space resources which have the vast capacity and capability to support Australia's space industry.
The ANU Space Institute is an umbrella for all the hundreds of researchers working across the university in the area of space. So a great strength and a uniqueness of this is both the cross-disciplinary aspect of it. We can put together teams of people who are experts in physics, in the technology, in astronomy, in earth sciences, but also in strategy development, in policy development, in the regulatory side, and that makes us very powerful and very unique.
To properly address the range of issues related to space, we need a large body of resources and expertise. We need the resources of a national university and an institute that allows all of these disciplines to work together as a single entity.
The ANU Space Institute will have funds right from day one to co-invest with its partners, and we're here to work alongside the new Australian Space Agency to support its vision and its mission, especially to grow the space industry here in Australia. And we're also here to support government and other institutions in Australia.
We look forward to providing our extensive cross-disciplinary capabilities to support the future of space with the university's new Space Institute.
The Japanese spacecraft Hayabusa 2 has been collecting samples from an asteroid. Now, when it returns to Earth, the sampling capsule will land in South Australia. Well, preparations are being made to analyse the samples brought back to Earth from Ryugu at the Australian National University. So this feature describes what they plan to do. This is Professor Trevor Ireland, who was speaking some time ago.
We know a lot about the early solar system through our studies of meteorites. The meteorites, when they come into the Earth's atmosphere, burn up and they burn off a lot of the surface and they lose that skin. And it's that skin which has the record of how the asteroid has evolved in the solar system. So what we're trying to do is reach out into the solar system, grab a sample, bring it back, and try and understand the history of those objects and those asteroids around planet Earth. Well, Hayabusa 2 is going out on an orbit to intersect with asteroid Ryugu, and Ryugu's orbiting somewhere between Earth and Mars. So we're hoping to get skin samples which have got embedded radionuclides and things which we can date the surface and get an understanding of the recent history of our solar system. So SHRMP is a novel piece of technology, does microscale analyses of chemistry and isotope. We use a focused ion beam to sample very small areas of mineral grains. And so ANU will receive a sample directly from the surface of an asteroid. And so having the capability to actually analyse on the microscale is going to be a complementary aspect of these observations that we're getting around the asteroid at the moment. And we can basically make our contribution to the understanding of the solar system.
Another activity at the Australian National University has been the construction of a laser for the twin GRACE follow-on satellites. Now, we described those satellites on last week's The Space Show. Professor Daniel Shattuck is at the Research School of Physics and Engineering, and he describes what they did.
The GRACE follow-on satellites will launch on a SpaceX Falcon 9 rocket. GRACE is a gravity mission. It's a mission that measures the gravity of the Earth. The thing that's really important about GRACE is it measures the change in the Earth's gravity from one month to the next, and that tells you how mass moves around the Earth. And the only thing that really moves around from one month to the next is water. And so it can tell us things like changes in sea level rises. It can give us a complete map of the melting of ice in Greenland or Antarctica. But it can also tell us how the groundwater changes in the Murray-Darling Basin, for example, from one month to the next. What GRACE does is it puts up two satellites which are 200 kilometres apart, and they're basically following each other around in this orbit. And when one of them passes over an area of higher mass concentration, it speeds up and then slows down. The satellites are 200 kilometres apart and they move closer together and further apart by about the diameter of a red blood cell. If the groundwater level changes by only a few millimetres, that's enough that the spacecraft 500 kilometres away can sense that motion, and then we can use that to inform policymakers or farmers who are relying on irrigation about where things are headed and what we need to do to change. So this will be the first mission that shoots laser beams between spacecraft and makes what's called a coherent measurement. This is actually the same technology that the multi-billion dollar gravitational wave detector mission that will launch in around a decade will rely on. And there are already plans to do missions not just around Earth, but also around Mars and other planets to map the mass and the water in those planets. One of the things I loved about this project is it brought together people from all over. It brought together scientists, engineers, physicists, people who studied geology, and it brought them from the ANU, from CSIRO, and even private companies, EOS Space Systems, to bring all that expertise together and deliver something which is really world-leading.